I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Several times a week, Laura will turn to me after we get into bed and say those six little words I've been waiting to hear all day. Can I read something to you? Once I've said yes, she reaches for an item from her very cluttered nightstand and proceeds to bring that book, blog post, poem, essay, or article to life with her voice. I hope you enjoy listening to her read as much as I do. Here's this week's selection from Laura's nightstand.
Hi, as Scott said, this is Laura Cathcart Robbins, and you're listening to On My Nightstand. And today I'm going to share with you something written by Robin Wessler Wazinski. Robin and I have been in a couple of writing classes together, but we were in a storytelling class like last week's author, Robin Reiser. I heard Robin Wessler Wazinski read this a few years ago, though, and it's really just one of my favorite pieces that she's written. And I asked her if I could share it with you all for Autism Awareness Month, which is April, the month that we're in. And this is her response. She said, "I'm so excited, Laura, and I absolutely love that you're saving it for April. I still remember when Jack was younger, we would visit all of our neighbors and deliver blue light bulbs for Autism Awareness Month. He was so excited to see the block's porches transform in his honor." Just writing this makes me realize what a sweet spot 9 years old is, still embracing what makes you unique. Then middle school comes along and fucks it all up. But that's another story. So here is Robin's piece, We Need to Talk. February 2nd, 2003. It doesn't take much to entertain me these days. A 15-minute run to the Vons is an excursion, a celebration meticulously planned and looked forward to, because I'm alone. And even though I've only come for raw almonds and a bag of baby carrots, I will scurry up and down every aisle to see what I've been missing since I left. Are you serious? I've only been out of the grocery game for 6 weeks, and now they have Oreos? You guys, they're inside out. The greatest tasting goof ever. Well, I guess I'm getting three things. I actually say this out loud, giggling as I toss them in my basket. I envy the people passing me with full carts who have time to do a week's worth of shopping in one trip. I envy the people who don't know how good they have it, the ones not cloistered in their lonely house with a new baby. And even though I only have three items, I don't get in the express lane. Oh no, I want to drag this out. My favorite part is perusing the day's hard-hitting headlines, the ones revealing that Nicole wrecked Tom's wedding plans, and the shocking story of Oprah's test tube baby. As I stand and skim, savoring the last few minutes of respite, I see a pair of miniature legs air plieing from the corner of my eye. Oh shit, someone else's baby, swaddled in a Bjorn. They've spotted me, and they want my attention. I try to ignore the increasing excitement, the tiny stiff arms rhythmically patting, until the squeal begs me to turn. So I do. We lock eyes, and her anticipation melts into utter, errant joy. She got me, and her exhaling smile thanks me for the connection. So how can this complete stranger, this tiny newcomer, be so thoroughly thrilled, so grateful for my glance, and I can't even get my own kid to look at me? At 6 weeks, your baby can't focus farther than 8 to 12 inches away. Just the right distance for him to gaze at your face, my parenting Bible promises me. But he doesn't. He won't. Not only will Jack not gaze at me, he actively avoids gazing at me, physically turning his head away when I try to make eye contact. So every morning, the ritual is the same. After I feed him, we make our way to the living room. I position myself on the couch, legs bent, my feet firmly planted on the coffee table, my thighs at a 45-degree angle, creating the perfect cradle to prop him up, face to face, and our dance begins. Good morning, I sing. Good morning, my sweet boy. His head snaps left, and I follow him. Good morning, beautiful boy. Good morning, Jack. And back to the right. My body twists and winds to follow his pivoting head until he relents or tires, and our eyes briefly meet. Hi, Jack. His expressionless face soon turns agitated, but for a moment I had him. He looks away, and our serpentine game begins again, over and over. Not one of those parenting books talks about someone faking being a good mom, or lying about milestones, or being afraid when her kid wakes up. Where do they tell me what to expect the first year when what you're expecting doesn't happen, ever? The back cover said this would be amazing, but it's not. It's embarrassing. And I can't tell anyone that I do this every morning, not even my own husband. I can't tell anyone that I am terrified because if I say it out loud, I may pierce the armor, expose the charade that's allowing me to get through each day. So for right now, I will sit with it. I will wait for Wade to get home and relish the adult interaction when it comes. For right now, my concerns will be mine for right now. I suspect people's lives are divided into two halves, not necessarily equal halves, but a fold in the paper nonetheless. A crease or furrow that will change everything that follows it. Some pivotal moment, jolting and indelible, that becomes the touchstone, the reference point from which all things can now be sorted on a personal timeline. July 6, 2004, we sat silently in Dr. Colleen's office waiting. As I stared at the pastel painting of Navajo pottery and the slate blue and mauve couch beneath it, I had two thoughts. One, Southwest was hideous even when it was popular. And two, exactly how much bank do you have to be making as a developmental pediatrician before you spring for a decorator? There was no small talk between Wade and me, just his occasional feeble attempt to distract me from the inevitable. Should we go to the Hat after this? It's right across the street. Are you fucking kidding me? I thought. I can barely keep my coffee down and you're thinking about fucking lunch? I'm actually not that hungry. Let's wait and see what happens here. To his credit, he squeezed my hand instead of letting go. He knew too, but he also knew it was going to be much harder for me to hear than him. When the office door opened, my breath quietly left me, and I stepped away from myself. An invisible sheet draped me. My fingertips tingled, and my brain swam to find its dizzy composure. I greeted the doctor with a handshake and a smile, and all I could think of was, what am I doing here? Oh God, what am I doing here? This isn't how it's supposed to be. The next 20 minutes were filled with shit that didn't matter. Communication and symbolic behavior scales, modified checklists, developmental statuses. As I imitated listening through murky water, all I wanted to be was put out of my misery. I wondered if my expression exposed my pleading, please, please, just get to the punchline. And then finally at once the words I had dreaded became the very ones I begged for. Jack has autism. Jack does have autism. It rolled around in my head and snapped into focus. Jack has autism. It was July 26, 2004, 11:42 a.m. At that precise moment, the paper was folded. It's now laid out in front of me, crisp and white. The right side is cluttered, jots and dots and lines and squiggles, old secrets I could now shout from the mountaintops, doodles in the forms of anecdotes and stories, heartaches and triumphs, Christmas notes extolling tiny milestones, sharing with the world our fears and our hopes, our uncertainty and anticipation, emails connecting, fundraising, advocating, celebrating, commiserating, journals and calendars and notebooks, each documenting life after diagnosis, AD, chronicling all that followed the moment I was set free. On My Nightstand is a special segment of the Only One in the Room podcast. Today's episode was produced by Scott Slaughter, who I call Hun, and executively produced by Christina Barcy, who we call Barcy. Thank you for listening to The Only One in the Room. Please join us each Tuesday and Sunday for an incredible, brand new Only One interview, and every Friday for On My Nightstand, where I'll be reading from something that I love. If you have an Only One in the Room story or a piece of writing that you'd like to share, please submit it to theonlyonepod@gmail.com. From all of us at The Only One in the Room, we wish you dopeness, health, and prosperity.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And, spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's H-Y-P-E-R-T-H-E-T-I-C-A-L.